And so, with the cup held high, Meath leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful Meath, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punch. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of your We Are Meath podcast with Davey Rispin and Mickey Brennan. And this episode, we are going to be talking a lot about the Club Football Championship, I think. We'll be giving you some hurling fixtures. We're going to go to our lottos and our Instagram and give you an update on what's happening on our Loyal Royal service this week. But Davey, for the intermediate and the senior championship, the group stages came to a close this week. And it wasn't without drama. We're hoping for the same in 2 weeks' time in the junior when they have their final round of fixtures. But there was even drama in the junior A and B as well. We'll come to all of that in a couple of moments. But what a weekend of results.
Incredible, Mickey. I was playing, as you know, on Friday night and I got back into my car after the game in Sentinelstown and opened my phone or whatever. And it nearly exploded with all the notifications and messages coming in. And people do forget that I still try and play a bit and they just think that I'm automatically at a game. So I had absolutely no idea what was happening on Friday night. I know you were obviously on duty at one of the games in question, but there were questions coming in about who's true and all this, and I was just picking it up through the grapevine as to what was happening. But it was just remarkable, really. In many respects, obviously, most of the drama sort of happened on Friday night with the likes of the intermediate and senior in particular, as you talked about. As it turned out, the games on Sunday actually in the groups that were kind of down for decision were pretty went to script, you know what I mean? Like, there wasn't too much in the way of drama, but it all came on Friday night, and I know you were in the thick of the action, obviously, with Curraghan and Jocklin.
Yeah, did you get a chance to listen back to the last 5 minutes of that game? No.
I'll do it tomorrow before the review.
Yeah, if you go on to Mixlr and listen to the last 5 minutes of the game, it was mayhem, sure. You know, Curraghan were 4 points up. That was putting them through, guaranteed. No matter what results happened in the other game, a four-point win was going to guarantee them at least a second-place finish in the group. But as it turned out, the whole thing just went chaotic. And it was pandemonium in the last few minutes and trying to figure out score differences and whatever. And we even had an official at the game who said that it actually, the score difference actually changes, that it goes to a mini little group between the three teams and you take out Dunshaughlin because Dunshaughlin had beaten all three of the teams. And that wasn't even right then. And it was only later on in the evening that we actually knew who was after going through. But look, what we'll do is, I suppose we'll get to that in a couple of minutes and the absolute carnage that was. Let's run through the results, Davey, from the weekend, from all of the different groups. And we're going to start in Group A. This group was Simonstown knew that they were going to be through, and Sentinelstown knew that they were going to be in relegation. And they still had to play each other. That was a brilliant game in Park Tolchin on Sunday afternoon. Simonstown, 2-13 on Saturday, I beg your pardon, on Saturday evening. Simonstown, 2-13. Sentinelstown, 2-13. But the big one, Davey, and the one that had the biggest bearing on the group was, of course, Dunboyne and Trim. And it finished Trim 1-11. St. Peter's Dunboyne, 12 points. St. Peter's Dunboyne out of the championship, going into relegation. Both in 2 weeks or two games in a row, goals at the death costing St. Peter's Dunboyne.
Yeah, unreal. Like, they really should have not just gone through, but probably topped the group, if truth be told. They'd be still, for me, if they were through, they're still one of the big contenders. Now they're actually in a relegation playoff. They're not going down. They're absolutely not going down, regardless of how many more last minute goals they concede. But that'll be a tough pill for them to swallow. You have to hand it to Trim, though. They love it over in Summerhill, a last minute goal. I was there last year when they played Dunshaughlin in the league final. They did the exact same thing. And the veteran Declan Dowling came up with the goods again for them. Incredible scenes over there. And you have to hand it to Trim, back in a quarter final, second consecutive year. Dunboyne in relegation for the second consecutive year. Just crazy stuff.
Yeah, and I suppose like Trim had a turbulent year. It wasn't an easy year by any means. And they've just put it all together now in the championship and find themselves through to a quarter final. In the other game, Simonstown and Centralstown, I believe Simonstown could have had this game wrapped up at half time. Then Centralstown should have and could have had the game wrapped up with only moments to go. They were ahead by 7 points, and somehow Simonstown came back and drew level with them. Both teams, you know, were experimental as well. They used players and whatever. But I did hear that Cathal Finnegan was the standout player on the field. He was absolutely exceptional.
Yeah, he got a goal in five. His goal was supposed to be one of the best things that you're ever likely to see. Hopefully we'll try and get a clip of that. But it was meant to be worth the admission fee alone for that. And listen, they'll gain confidence from that. They didn't risk Cathal Hickey. He was carrying a knock coming into it, so they didn't risk him. But both teams went pretty strong, Mickey. I seen both teams. Particularly Simonstown, I thought they were a bit stronger than I expected. You know, but I suppose momentum is a huge thing in championship football, and maybe Gordie Ward, and obviously still in the Premier Championship as well. So you know, you have to try and manage the workload and stuff, and look after both teams. But that was a really entertaining game, and Simonstown have picked plenty of positives from it going into the relegation.
Yeah, absolutely. While I said experimental for Simonstown, they did, like, both teams were missing a number of players. John Smith didn't play either as well for Centralstown. Simonstown got some game time into Sean Tobin and Andy Carney from the start. And they're two players that haven't been starting in recent months. And it's good to see them getting a little bit more game time. So, yeah, both of those teams would be happy with the result going into the respective quarterfinals, relegation and obviously quarterfinal. So moving on anyway, we'll go to Group B of the Ferrier Steel Senior Championship. After losing Group B, Davey, I'm sorry. We never went to Group A, that's what it was. So Group A, the one that we were talking about already, on Friday evening, these games were played, and it was Curragha 1-8, Dunshaughlin 12 points, Dunmore Ashburn 1-7, Nafina 9 points. And both of these games traded the lead at the very end. As I said, Curragha were leading 1-8 to 7 points going into the closing stages with only maybe 5-6 minutes to go. Then Shocklin rallied off 5 points to go ahead. Then Dunmore Ashburn, who trailed 8 points to 7, got a goal in the dying embers of that game as well before Nafina added a point. Both of them ended up on minus one score difference, but it is Dunmore Ashburn who go through. And Curragha had a chance at the death to draw level, and the shot coming in from James McEntee went out to the right-hand side and wide. Had they drawn, they would have gone through on 3 points. It was just mayhem.
Carnage, absolute carnage and drama every which way you looked. Not the high score, the most high-scoring of games, both of them, but obviously clutch moments at various different stages. And Kevin Fenton coming on for Dunmore Ashburn in the final 10 minutes. He got a goal and a point. Talk about making yourself a hero and writing yourself into club folklore, and he's done just that. And Dunmore Ashburn have made a habit of this. They did this a couple of years ago as well, Mickey. They went into the final round of games without a win and managed to go through. Well, they've repeated the dose here. And you know what? They'll go into that, like I talked about last week, without a care in the world. They're in a quarter final. There'll be very little expected of them, and they can sort of just approach it with a bit of freedom now. And they've got a win, so they'll come on from that hell of a victory. Nafina will be sick, and by the sounds of it, Curragha will be even sicker.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Like, Dunshaughlin will be delighted to win in the manner that they did, and to come back in the last 5 minutes and get those. Like, on 24 minutes of the second half, it was 1-8 to 7 points, and they rallied off 5 points before the close to win it by a point. And, you know, come up from intermediate last year to go through the group with maximum points, it's a hell of an achievement, and the sky's the limit for that Dunshaughlin side, Davey.
Exactly, Mickey, and losing two of their most influential players in doing so as well, in Minnie Murphy and Conor Gray, I think it makes it all the more impressive. How much further can they go? I'm not sure. I really am. And, you know, I know they've topped the group and everything like that, but I think those two players alone, they do have a bit of depth in there. But there's two games that, look, I'm preempting things a little bit. We'll come to it in a minute. But there's one team in particular that I have in my head for Dunshaughlin, and I think you know the one I'm talking about.
Well, we will be coming back to that in a couple of moments. So we'll run through the rest of the results. In Group C, it was a top-of-the-table affair. Sorry, it was not. It was Raphoe were top of the table going into this, and Mynalvi were on 1 point, and St. Columb Kills were on 3. Had Raphoe won and Mynalvi got a win by a certain amount of points, Mynalvi could have got through. They did their part in the whole thing. They beat Scream by 4 goals and 6 to 12 points, so they had a 6-point swing already on their score difference. And they were waiting for Raphoe to get the victory against St. Columb Kills, but it never came. And Raphoe lost on the scoreline of St. Columb Kills, 2 goals and 10, Raphoe 10 points. Davey, is this now the beginning of big things for St. Columb Kills?
I think it could be, yeah. I've been waiting for this result for a long time. There were people out there who were very confident in saying that Raphoe would beat Columb Kills by 10 points, Mickey. But that didn't materialise whatsoever. Columb Kills started really slow, got the goal, and got themselves into the contest. But from then on in, they never looked back. Raphoe were really poor. I know they didn't have a whole pile to play for, but finishing second in the group, we'll only know in a couple of weeks' time, or probably in a couple of days' time, how important it was to finish top or finish second. But Columb Kills, hats off to them. They needed to win the game or at least get something from it. And they've done that now. Hell of a victory, top in the group. And they're on merit. The inconsistencies with Columb Kills is hilarious, though, from week to week.
Yeah.
You know? But everybody knows that performance is in them. They just need to do it a little bit more consistently. But in many ways, they perform better against the better teams. I don't mean to be disrespectful to the others, but sometimes when they're playing lesser teams, they sort of come down to their level. Whereas when they're playing the likes of Raphoe and Summerhill and Simonstown Gaels and these teams, they actually raise their game and they perform to that level. So it's in them.
Yeah, it really is. And brilliant stuff from St. Columb Kills. Looking down at it, I suppose Raphoe would have been really disappointed to finish in second place. But there's three teams from Group A, B and D that are also pissed off that they finished in second place. So they are. And we get to that in a moment. It wasn't just themselves that they annoyed by ending up in second place. Moving on then to the results from Group D. And Summerhill 114, Gael Columb Kill 8 points. We knew already that Summerhill were going to top the group and Gael Columb Kill would be going into relegation. And it's been a really, really bad year for Gael Columb Kill, a year to forget. And the other game was the big one. It was a winner-takes-all shootout between Wolf Tones and Ballinabrachy. And it was Wolf Tones who came through and a scoring of 2 goals and 8 to Ballinabrachy's 1 goal and 8. Davey, you were at that one, and drama right up till the end.
Yeah, Ballinabrachy kept at it, Mickey. They huffed and puffed. They kicked 4 or 5 really poor second-half wides with the breeze behind them. I know we lost commentary, unfortunately, at a really crucial stage in the first half, but Ballinabrachy got a great goal through Mark Coffey. It actually put them level. But Wolf Tones hit 2 goals in 2 minutes, a couple of minutes after that. The first of them came through Tom Gavigan. Lovely combination play by the O'Neill brothers, and Gavigan at the back stick, poaching like he does best. And the second goal was an outstanding finish by Fearco Ward after a terrific 40-yard pass by Thomas O'Reilly. That set Wolf Tones up for it, Mickey. They really managed the game effectively in the second half, and Ballinabrachy could never just come to terms with them. Wolf Tones do what Wolf Tones do. They like to be wrote off. They like, you know, hearing all this, and they really do. You have to praise Wolf Tones and their level of consistency year on year in getting back to this stage, regardless of how many doubters they have. You know, great win for them.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Well, we will be doing full reviews of all of the championships, the Junior A and B. We'll have interviews from St. Vincent's with Marcus Morrison, Barry O'Sullivan and Davey Tallon. We'll be doing a full review of the Junior A and B. We'll move on then. We'll be doing the intermediate review. We've got interviews with Dominic York and Shane McCoy from Meath Hill, And we have Crash Corrigan, Sean Corrigan from Believer as well. And then in the senior review, we have interviews with Matty Costello from Dunshaughlin. We have Paddy Martin and Stephen Shepherd also from the Tones, and their interviews not to be missed, especially the Stephen Shepherd one. A really incredible interview there with Stephen Shepherd, and a message to go out to everybody across the county as well, especially to all our young listeners. But check that one out on our live spot. What we might even do, Davey, with that interview is we'll bring it into the We Are Me podcast next week as well, because it's something that everybody needs to hear.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coin and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coin and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
But looking at the way everything is finished now, so the top teams in each group, A, B, C and D, will go into one pool, the seed one pool, and they are Dunshaughlin, Simonston, St. Colum Kills and Summerhill. Now, they can play against any of the teams that finish second, except a team that finished second in their own group. So the teams that will be in the seed two bowl will be Dunover Ashburn, Trim, Latote and Wolf Tones. Now, so the one thing that we know for Latote, for instance, is that they won't be playing against St. Colum Kills. So they can play either Simonstown, Dunshaughlin or Summerhill, Davey. And I'd say those three teams are just like gone for sake.
Yeah, well, Dunshaughlin in particular, because they went obviously balls out to top the group on Friday night and beating Corrigan. Yeah. You know, I think if their reward for topping the group in their first year back in senior was to play their near neighbours, Rotote, I don't think that would nearly be fair. I think the one that everybody wants to see in a quarterfinal is... I kind of hinted at it earlier, and there's a 1 in 3 chance of that happening. And I just think for the Meath Championship in general and the open draw nature of it, I think that would be the fixture that would jump off the page at Jan. Essentially, it would open it up for other teams as well who come through the other side, you know, and just giving us a different name, if you like, come the latter stages of the championship. But let's see on that. There's going to be drama every which way. I mean, you could end up with a scenario where you have Wolf Tones and Simonstown Gales in a quarterfinal as well. You know, there's savage permutations every which way.
Yeah, there really is. And I'm really looking forward to that draw that takes place on Monday night. What we'll do then, Davey, is we'll run through the results from the intermediate championship as well and give you the lie of the land across all four groups and how the results have affected each of the tables for the seed ones and seed twos going into the quarterfinals. Incidentally, the third and fourth place teams will also have their draw tomorrow night. From the senior and intermediate championship to see who they'll play in the relegation. So the teams in relegation from senior, seeded one teams or seeded three, let's just say, Nafina, St. Peter's Dunboyne, Minalvi and Ballinabrachy. And the fourth seeds in each of those groups are Curragha, Centralstown, Screen and Gael Colum Kill. I suppose a word on those, Damien. Screen and Gael Colum Kill, they don't look like they can win games at the moment, Davey.
No. So what I don't see them getting out of immediate trouble, if you like, in the quarterfinal because of the teams that they're going to be playing in third position. So I think they're going to have to sweat it out for a bit longer. And listen, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that they could end up facing each other, possibly in a relegation final. It's just the nature of the beatings that they're taking at the minute. They're not getting close to even winning a game, you know, and they're not putting up big scores and everything. It's really, really worrying times for Screen, the oldest senior club in Meath that are still senior, and Gaelicullen Kill, a club that were a kick of the ball away from winning the championship a couple of years ago. I mean, it's been a disaster, but yeah, we'll wait and see what happens there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, moving on to the intermediate and the results from that. In Group A, it was Navanamatnee's 2 goals and 18, Trumbarra 3 goals and 7, Rathkenny 13 points, Oldcastle 2 goals and 7. And of course, this was the group that we were looking at last week, saying that anyone can end up in relegation, anyone can end up in the quarterfinals. And you know, Navanamatnee's and Rathkenny were probably the two favourites going into their games. Navanamatnee's duly obliged with a big win, 2-18 to 3-7. Now, Drumbarra did, you know, keep them honest throughout the game, but never looked like winning it. But Rathkenny and Oldcastle, you know, that was a straight shootout. Whoever won that one as well was going through to the quarterfinals. But the draw was always going to suit Rathkenny.
The draw was always going to suit Rathkenny, but they almost played for a draw and got caught. You know, they were really defensive, sat back, invited Oldcastle onto them. Oldcastle were in a really strong position and probably should have won this game, if truth be told. Rathkenny just about found a way. It's a bit of a lesson for them. They almost were caught red-handed. In the other game, Navanamatnee's start paved the way for them. They led by 1-7 to a point after, I think, 15 minutes of play. So, Darren Maguire with the goal. And that set the tone for them. I always felt it would be difficult for Drumbarra to kind of back up the performance against Oldcastle with another one against Omatnees, and it proved to be the case. So Navanamatnee's duly obliged, top in the group, remain favourites for the championship, I think, based on what we've seen. And Rathkenny mightily relieved to sneak through because they could have easily went out Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely. And it means that Navanamatnee's and Rathkenny are through, Drumbarra and Oldcastle into relegation. We move on to the results from Group B. And this group was already fixed as well. It was top versus it was top two playing against each other. Both of them were guaranteed to go through to the quarterfinals, and the bottom two were just playing for pride. It was Castletown against Duleek Bellewston, 1-8 Castletown, 1-16 to Duleek Bellewston. Duleek Bellewston pulling away in the latter part of that game. It was close for up until half time, I think, and then Duleek Bellewston pulled away. And then St. Michael's 10 points, Blackhall Gales 8 points. St. Michael's getting their victory and giving themselves third place going into the relegation playoffs. But, Davey, I suppose Castletown maybe just realising what this intermediate championship is going to be like going into the quarterfinals.
Yeah, they lost a lot of players as well. No Killian Price or Adam Matthews from the start, and they lost the influential Evan Hoye and Noel Snowball Smith in the second half as well. So, four massive losses, and they'll be sweating on their fitness come the quarterfinals. They actually led the game by 2 points at halftime, Castletown, but just Duleek Bellewston turned the screw in the second half. Jamie McDonald outstanding for them, 1-5. They topped the group, and Castletown, I don't think they lose too much sleep about the loss or anything like that. They're happy to be in the quarterfinals, but the draw they'll be tuned into is going to be eagerly anticipated.
Yeah, and St. Michael's and Blackhall Gales go into the relegation. Moving on then to, let's see, we're going to Group C of the Intermediate Championship and the results from it. Now, again, this was a chaotic group as well, because any of the four could have ended up in relegation and any of the four could have gone through. But it went to script, Davey. Bolivar got a huge victory over Longwood. Longwood needed a big win here, and they needed Waterston to do them a favour. That did transpire. Waterston got a big victory over Nobber, but Longwood weren't able to get the better of Bolivar. And you were at this game as well. You did a full commentary on this one. You have interviews with Sean Crash Corrigan after the game as well on our Loyal Royals podcast later this week.
Yeah, Bolivar were outstanding. They were really, really impressive. I've been kind of beating the Bolivar drum for a while now, Mickey, and I do think they're primed. I do think they get a favourable draw. I know they're going to be playing a group winner, but if they get a decent draw, I would fancy them to topple possibly one of the group winners in the quarterfinals. I think they've got an awful lot going for them. Longwood in stark contrast, like for a local derby, they were so flat, so pedestrian, and Bolivar walked all over them, really, you know, much, much more intensity in their game. And they were very impressive on what were difficult conditions in Clonard on Sunday afternoon. They'll be delighted to go through with the minimum of fuss in the end.
Yeah, and Waterstown, just tipping along quietly. Nobody's talking about them at all. 13-point victory over Knobber, through to the quarterfinals. No hassle, no dramas. And we'll come to the seed ones now in a couple of moments. We'll go into Group D of the Intermediate Championship and the games that were played on the weekend. St. Pat's were taking on Dundry. Dundry were going to be in relegation no matter what. We knew that. And St. Pat's came away with the victory. Dundry did lead this game until half-time, if I'm not mistaken. And it was St. Pat's who came back out with a barnstorm in the second half. And then Mead Hill against Bective. Big victory for Mead Hill against a fairly depleted Bective and an injury-stricken Bective. But you can't take away from the victory for Mead Hill. They were full value for it as well, Davey.
Yeah, I you were at the game, Mickey. I tuned in to the first half, and like Bective obviously got off to a really good start, but from then on could never kick on, and Mead Hill completely took over by the sounds of it.
Yeah, they did indeed, and an early penalty from Shawnee Keaton, and then they didn't score again until the 29th minute. That was within a minute of the throw-in, and they didn't score again until the 29th minute, just on the stroke of half-time practically. And then what in the second half, of their, of their 6 points in the second half, five of them came from frees, you know. So they just weren't up to it. Meath Hill were excellent, though. And then St. Pat's doing their job, Davey, against Dundry, topping the group as well. But as I said, Dundry did lead this game, if I'm not mistaken, up until halftime.
Yeah, they did. They put in a much improved performance, obviously under the stewardship now with Ted Dowd. Stephen O'Rourke is in and around it as well, and they'll take plenty from that. Obviously, just run out of steam, and probably the superior level of fitness from the Pats kicked in the second half, and maybe they rolled on a few more established first team regulars, and they, you know, got the win that they needed just to keep their momentum and their confidence rolling. They'll be a tough nut to crack. One defeat in 20 games, I think, for St. Pat's in all competitions. Rob Perfield sent that into the podcast. We'll come to that in a little bit. But they're a team that are going to be right in and amongst it, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the seed ones from the intermediate after the group stages are Navan O'Matney's, Duleek Bellewstown, Waterstown and St. Pat's. And then the seed twos in the intermediate going into the quarterfinals would be Rakenny, Castletown, Bolivar and Mead Hill. I just can't wait to see the quarterfinals in this intermediate championship, Davey, because while the seed ones are probably, you know, the four best teams, there's not a big drop off to the seed twos. Like, you know, there's definitely going to be a couple of quarterfinals that won't go the favourites way, I think.
No, 100%. I couldn't agree with you more, actually, because I think if you look at a tree that you'd pick out, Bolivar, Mead Hill and Rakenny, they're still three of the big protagonists for me in this year's championship. So I would thoroughly agree. I would expect one, if not two, if not three of those seed two teams to probably win their respective quarterfinals. So very much all to play for. And I don't think that draw will categorically tell us where we're looking ahead to a semi-final. Whereas in senior, I do think it's probably a little bit more of a clear-cut picture, but we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, look, that's the intermediate and the senior looked at. In the relegation probably from intermediate, let's look at the third seed. So Drumbarra are third seed, St. Michael's are a third seed, Knobber are a third seed, and Bective are a third seed. And the bottom seeds, the fourth seeds, Oldcastle are a fourth seed. Blackall Gaels are a fourth seed. Longwood are a fourth seed. And Dundry are a fourth seed. I would say that St. Michael's, Knobber and Bective are all worried about getting Oldcastle. I wouldn't think that they'd be afraid of any of the other teams, but they'd be terrified of getting Oldcastle because Drumbarra can't get them, obviously.
Well, Michael's and Oldcastle, which is a potential pairing, if you had said that before the championship, you'd have said straight away quarterfinal.
Yeah,
and a bloody good one at that.
Absolutely.
It's been remarkable to see the different trajectories that those two have gone in. There's one game that I would love to see. It's Drumbarra against Longwood. Of course, Davy Cahill started the year as Longwood manager. He's probably going to finish it as Drumbarra manager. That's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing in the space of a couple of months. So that's one game that I'd personally like to see, and there'd be quite a bit of spice attached to it as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely brilliant, so it would. Looking at it as well, Davey, I'm just looking at it there. Like, when you say Oldcastle and St. Michael's, you know, at the start of the year, we would have said a quarter-final. Who would you take out of the quarter-finals that are in it to substitute Oldcastle or St. Michael's in? You've got, like, Kenny Castleton, Beliver, or Meath Hill. They're all deserving of a quarter-final spot, you know, that kind of way. And, like, Who would St. Michael's or Oldcastle beaten that in of the second seeds?
Good question. I don't know. Look, they're still two very capable sides, in particular Oldcastle. I think probably seen it in. We didn't see it enough throughout the championship, but we've seen in the final round what they're capable of. But that wasn't obviously enough. Michael's, I don't really know, Mickey. They only beat Blackhall by 2 points as well, and I think they'll be just happy to get their year done and dusted and try and move on, because it's been a disaster as far as championship goes for them. But you're right, the teams that have cemented their positions in the top two of the groups, I think, are thoroughly deserving of their spots. I don't think anybody could really argue the toss.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, we'll obviously be doing a full review of all those games as well. We've interviews from the Mead Hill camp and the Beliver camp after their victories on the weekend, and do stay tuned to our loyal service for those during the week. Davey, from the Junior A Championship, the results in from that one on Friday night, it was Kilmainham 5 points, St. Bridget's 3 goals and 7, and St. Bridget's cementing themselves to the top of the table and guaranteeing themselves, if I'm not mistaken, a semi-final spot as well. And the other result was, you were at this one, Ballinlock and St. Vincent's. St. Vincent's getting the victory. 2 wins on the trot for Vincent's, keeping their championship alive, and full value for it once again.
They were excellent, yeah. Ballinlock were poor now, I'd have to say. I was really disappointed with them. But Vincent's set the tone and dominated 3/4 of the game. They kind of let Ballinlock in towards the closing stages, but they were a good value for their win. They're in a unique and unusual position going into the final round of games, Mickey, that they're not actually playing. So they need to sweat it out. There's basically 2 games going on simultaneously in the final round of group games. Vincent's need at least one of those games to go in their favour. The issue being is the team at the top of the table, i.e. Bridget's, and the team at the bottom of the table, Kilmainham, are essentially gone in terms of what they can do. So they're dead rubbers as far as they're concerned. So you would imagine Ballinlock would have a bit more to play for against Bridget's, and Moyle would have a bit more to play for against Kilmainham. So Vincent's have done what they can do. They've won their last two. They've given themselves a chance. And I think after their first 2 games, which are horrendous for them, that's all they could have hoped for. And to be fair, they've got better and better as the championship has gone on.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when you look at Kilmainham and Bridget's, you know, Bridget's just, they've been absolutely brilliant. So they have. And Kilmainham is, it's worrying now for Kilmainham. That is, Their championship hopes gone now, isn't it? Or who did they play in the last game?
No, not gone. Yeah, they're going to be in relegation trouble for the second consecutive year. They play Moyle, but even a win in that game is going to put them in the bottom two. So it's not good for them.
Do Ballinlock have the head to head on Kilmainham?
They drew with them.
They drew with them, so there's a chance, Dave. 90
points. Oh, no, there's not. There's not. Ballinlock are +8 on score difference. Kilmainham are -20, so there's not.
Yeah.
And Mickey Newman is injured. They're not going to risk him against Moyle. They're not fit. They're threadbare in terms of their squad and everything like that. I worry for them. They're on a downward spiral. It's going to be very hard for them to get out of it. You know, they have to just try and dig in and get that win in a relegation playoff, which
no, absolutely not. And Davey, on Bridget's, top of the group, straight through to a semi-final,
win a game to spare. Yeah. That's unbelievable. They've got Ryan Tye back, they've got huge competition for places there. they find a way. They had a man sent off early in that game. It was 2 points apiece at halftime. I think there wasn't. It was 3-2 after something like 40 minutes of the game. It was really low scoring. Bridget just flicked the switch. They got two goals in double quick time, and they just pulverised Kilmainham without actually playing that well, which is a pretty ominous sign. They can take their foot off the gas, but they've got the small matter of a local derby against Ballinlough. There's been underage turmoil between those clubs in recent times. Bridget would love it if they beat Ballinlough. Love it, Mickey.
Great stuff. That'll be a nice little tasty one. And do you know what? Ballinlough need the victory there, so they do. And did Moyla beat Vincent's? They did, didn't they?
They did, yeah. So Moyla, a win for Moyla against Kilmainham will effectively get them through.
And then Vincent's will be waiting on Ballinlough to lose to St. Bridget's to go through.
They need one of those two games to go in their favour.
Yeah, they need one of those games to go in their favour. So it'll be very interesting to see how that goes.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Automower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised Automower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
From Group B of the Junior A Championship, the results from the last weekend. We had two games played on Friday. Dunsany 1-13, Clonmacnoise 6 points, Sidon 1-13, Kilbride 1 goal and 20. Two kind of upsets with the bookies, you would say, Davey, for sure. I talked up Dunsany on the podcast last week and then I backed Clonmacnoise. But I did back Kilbride to get the better of Sidon in their game. But two really, really big results and two results that kind of throw the table into a little bit of disarray nearly, so it does, because Sinsani have now climbed back up the table into second. Kilbride have gone ahead of Sidon as well on the table. And Sidon last year's beaten semi-finalists, you know, could be in relegation if results don't go their way on the last day.
Yeah, exactly. Like they can get to 4 points by beating Ultons, but that's likely to not be enough for them, depending on what happens elsewhere. So it's amazing the way it's unraveled for Sidon.
They've a minus 21 score difference. So they do. Kilbride are plus 6 and Dunsany are plus 14. So it'd have to be a massive victory over St. Ultons for Sidon.
Yeah, so and also, Mickey, Sidon would need Kilbride to beat Dunsany, because if that's the case, then Sidon would get to 4, but they would have to head-to-head over Dunsany. Do you get me?
Yeah.
So Kilbride would go straight through in second, but if Dunsany win, Sidon are dust, because Kilbride already have the head-to-head over them.
That's all right, yeah.
So that's the only permutation that can go in their favour, along with beating Ultons. Now, obviously, Ultons are consigned to relegation playoffs anyway, so you would fancy Sidon to probably win that game, but some win for Kilbride. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Josh Harford, immense in that game for them. Superb. And in the other one, I actually can't believe it. you know, the margin of. But I know Clannagale, you know, obviously Niall McLaughlin had a very difficult week away from football last week, and I'm not sure if that played a part. But we know Eamon O'Donoghue hasn't been played. We know he and his brother Dermot are due to go travelling as well in the coming weeks. And I know we were talking them up in recent times, but possibly their season could yet unravel. So the only good thing from their perspective is they're true, I suppose. And, you know, they have a chance still of topping the group, depending on what happens between Kilbride and Dunsany. So, you know, they'll be sitting back and they'll be absolutely fine, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't realise the lads were going travelling. Do we know where they're going? Are they going
for emigrating? Yeah.
Well, that'll be disappointing for Clonmacnoise to see them going before the end of the championship. And we'll just keep an eye on that one. But Dunsany back in the hunt with that victory. Clonmacnoise not too worried about that result because they had already qualified. But they do want to go through as tabletoppers straight to a semi-final. Then we look at the results from the Junior B, Davey. And we're looking at Group A and the results from the weekend. On Friday night, Cortown got the better of St. Mary's on a scoreline of 12 points to 4 in Centreston. Drumcondra were beaten by Kilmainham Wood. That game was played in Meath Hill and it was 3-12 to Kilmainham Wood, 10 points to Drumcondra. And the last one, Clonard getting a massive victory over Eastern Gales, and Clonard getting a very, very deserved victory at last, Davey, in the Junior B Championship, and did it in some style as well.
They did. First win in Championship football in 5 years for Clonard. Unbelievable stuff after getting the first point in 4 years 2 weeks ago against St. Mary's. So, and it's given them a chance of actually progressing through on the last day as well. They play Kilmainham Wood, who are already secured of their place at the top of the table. So just you never quite know, and they'll be looking for a favour from their old friends Cortown when they take on Drumcondra, as will Mary. So this table is pretty finely poised still going into the final round of games. But hats off to Clonard, first win in 5 years in Championship football for them. They'll be delighted.
Drumcondra beaten by Kilmainham Wood 3-12 to 10. Drumcondra still in the race though, and they're in third place on 4 points and will come down. Cortown have guaranteed themselves a quarter-final spot with their victory over St. Mary's, but at the expense of an injury to Davey Rispin. And then as we look down at it, as I said, Drumcondra, Davey, losing out to Kilmainham Wood. They play yous on the last day, but in fairness, there was an injury to one of the players from Drumcondra, and you know, football pales into insignificance when you hear what happened to him.
Yeah, Keith Byrne, who was playing midfield for Drumcondra, sustained a really, really bad injury to his lung, a punctured lung, and was in intensive care overnight. And I think going into Sunday, things were looking a little bit brighter. You know, obviously a long road to recovery ahead of him and stuff like that, but kind of scary happenings, you know what I mean? And you know, absolutely, you're right, it does kind of put football and everything else into perspective when something like that happens. So we can just wish Keith, I suppose, a speedy recovery and hope to see him back on the field soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Best wishes to Keith and you know, to his family and the whole lot. Like, I'm sure it was a very, very distressing time after that game. And and get them to the hospital with the punctured lung and stuff. Absolutely horrendous stuff. And we do wish him a very, very speedy recovery, as Davey said, and hopefully see him back on the field in the not-too-distant future. So the way it looks at the minute, Kilmainham Wood have topped the group and will go straight into the semi-final. Cortown, Drumcondra, Clonard and St. Mary. Well, Cortown are guaranteed at least a quarter-final spot as well. And then we look down and Drumcondra, Clonard and St. Mary's are fighting it out for the last three places in the Junior B knockout stages. Sorry, the last two places in the knockout stages. So looking at Group B, Davey, and the results from over the weekend, a couple of really crazy results here. Carnaross, 2 goals and 15, Menalty, 2 goals and 13. And Carnaross have given themselves a bit of a chance with that victory, driving themselves back up the table. Menalty very disappointed with that result. The other result, though, Boardsmill, a point. Slane, 7 goals and 17 points. Boardsmill scored that point after 10 seconds and didn't score for the rest of the game.
I know how you feel, lads, against Slane when that happens. Not quite that bad, but just remarkable. Danny Dixon scored that point, you're right, after 10 seconds, and they didn't score after that. Slane just absolutely pulverised them. Aina Mooney with 4-1 for them from full forward. Just extraordinary, extraordinary result. We all know that Slane are contenders and they're an awesome side and they're still, for me, favourites to win the Junior B Championship. But Boardsmill will likely still go through and probably have still gone through, going into this. They were actually confident of giving Slane a right good rattle going into it too. Words fail me when I see a result like that, because Boardsmill aren't a bad side. I played against them this year and I might play against them again before the year is out. They're not a bad side, but I don't know.
Well, I have to hold my hand up. I told the lads in the Palace Bar last night that I'm sorry. I got dog's abuse out last night for backing Boardsmill.
I've got an even better one for you, right, than the Palace. I was coming out of Trim Grounds this evening, right? I was on the phone with one of the lads from Cartown, and I heard some lad in a car calling me back, and it was the referee from the senior game, none other than Mr. David Goff. And I ended the phone call pretty abruptly, and he says, "Will you go and tell Mickey Brennan to cop on to himself?"
Well, his brother's to beat Slane. His brother Stephen got me, and three or four other of the Slane players were out as well. And like they pinned me up against the wall and said, "You got to own this. You got to go onto the podcast and you got to own this." And I'm owning it, lads. It's one of the worst predictions ever, I think. Like, it couldn't be any more wrong. I did say last week, I think there's something in Boardsmill. I think there is. There's a point in them. And the scoreline for Slane is more like the amount of points that I drank last night, so it is, than what Boardsmill scored. But I'm holding my hands up. I'm apologising to the people of Slane, the whole of Slane, Lord Henry Mood Charles, the whole lot, the Slane Distillery, Slane Mill, everybody out there. I want to just apologise. The Hill of Slane, everything. I want to apologise to all of you out there. You know, maybe the next day I'll back against you again. We can put it up in the dressing room, pin it to the wall in the dressing room. But owned it. I have to hold my hands up and say probably the worst call I've ever made on a game. But Davey, so that's that bit done. The apology has gone out. And there's still one round of fixtures to go in both the junior and intermediate in the group stages. And, you know, there's still in that group, there's still two positions up for grabs and there's three teams fighting it out for it. And in the group A, we've got two positions up for grabs and we've got one position up for grabs and we've got three teams fighting it out for it. In the junior A, we have from group B, there's two positions up for grabs, three teams still fighting it out. Only one out of the running. And then the same in the Group A. There is three teams fighting it out for the two spots that are available in that one. In fact, Kilmainham are gone. They can't get out of relegation. So still lots to be played for in the last round of games, Davey, which is brilliant as well.
There is. I have to give a word to Karen Ross, Mickey, because I have to hold my hands up as well in picking Menalty last week. Not quite as bad as your prediction, but let's just say I was happy I was out in Kells on Friday night and not Saturday night, because I think there was a few Karen Ross lads looking for my head after that. But great credit to them, because it would have been very easy for them to just bury their heads and accept their fate. Menalty were missing players, but Menalty are still, for me, favourites to actually go through and actually top this group. They play Boardsmill last, but they aren't assured of their place just yet. Boardsmill are. But if Boardsmill were to beat them, it could potentially knock Menalty out if Karen Ross were to... They will beat Pauls in the last game, so that will get them to four. You have to hand it to them. It's been a really chastening year for them, but that is a brilliant, brilliant win for them against their local neighbours.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I was talking to a couple of the lads involved with Karen Ross or with Menalty, and they were disappointed, obviously, with the result, but they did know that a victory on the last day against Bords Mill would more than likely put them through to the quarterfinals. So it was always going to come down to that game against Bords Mill. That is the club football look at it. It was a brilliant weekend, Davey, and we're hoping for more of the same, as I said, in the junior in a couple of weeks' time. But we'll be looking, we'll be listening tentatively to tomorrow night to the draw for the quarterfinals in both the senior and intermediate, which is going to be absolutely brilliant. We'll do a podcast after it as well, David, will we?
Yeah, I think we will.
Yeah, just to run through the quarterfinals and stuff like that. Davey, also, we've got a hurling weekend coming up, and I presume you've got all the fixtures. It's a big weekend as well in the Meath Club Hurling Championship.
It's a huge weekend. Obviously, final round fixtures coming up, and still a lot to be played for, particularly in Group B, which we'll talk about in a minute. But we'll start with the Ted Murton Clothing and Footwear Senior Hurling Championship Group A on Sunday. Three games down for decision, all taking place at the same time, as has to be the case. First up in Trim, it's Kiltale versus Kildalki. It's a 4 o'clock start for that one. Rateau take on Trim at 4 o'clock in Park Talton. But incredibly, the only game that really matters in Group A in many respects is Killine versus Nafina. And that takes place at 4 o'clock in Longwood. Essentially, the winner of that one will stay up in Group A for next year. So that's a big one. In Group B, there's an awful lot to be sorted. All of these games throw in on Saturday at 5:30, the first of which is in Rathmullyne, and it takes place between Kilmessan and Longwood. The second is in Dunshaughlin, and it pits Blackall Gaels against St. Peter's Dunboyne. And finally, in Bords Mill, it's Dundry taking on Clannagale. Into the Intermediate Hurling Championship Group A on Sunday, all of these games taking place simultaneously as well. In Park Talton at 2 o'clock, it's Drumry taking on Gael Columbkill. In Trim, Rathmullyne face Kildalki. And finally, in Atboy, it's Bords Mill against Navan O'Mahony's. Into Group B then of the Intermediate Hurling Championship, all these games down for decision at noon on Sunday. In Batterstown, first up, it's St. Peter's Dunboyne taking on Kilmessan. At 12 in Kiltale, it's Trim against Dunamore Ashburn. And finally, in Father Plunkett Memorial Park, it's Wolf Tones facing off against Kilskier Moyle. In the K Windows and Doors Junior Hurling Championship Group A, Saturday at 6 o'clock, all these games are going to take place. First of which is Killine for Killine versus Kildalki. In Drumree hosting Ratoth. And in Kiltale playing host to St. Pat's. In the Junior Hurling Championship Group, Junior Hurling 2 Group B, one game down for decision. And that comes on Tuesday coming in Kilskier. And it's Kilskier Moyle versus Nafina. 7 o'clock start for that one. And that brings you up to speed with the hurling fixtures.
Excellent stuff, Davey, and best luck to all the teams taking the field next weekend. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of dual players out for that next weekend. So best luck to all the players there.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955-1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks, and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Just a reminder as well about our Loyal Royals podcast this year. This week, we will have the Senior Championship Football Review with interviews from the Dunshaughlin camp with Manny Costlow. We have interviews with the Wolf Tones camp as well, Paddy Martin and Stephen Shepherd. In our intermediate review, we'll be we have Meath Hills, Shane McCoy and Dominic York. We have interviews with them. And we have Beliver's Crash Corrigan too. On the Junior A and B review, we have Marcus Morrison, Barry O'Sullivan and Davy Challen interviews with those lads after their victory at the weekend over Ballinlock as well. And we will, of course, be announcing our Kiko Sports Team of the Week later this week. We'll be doing a podcast on that. We'll also be announcing the Blackwater Inn Player of the Week and the Blackwater Inn Top Scorer of the Week. And again, to our thanks, we did loads of commentaries over the weekend last week, and we'll be doing the exact same come the quarterfinals. So do stay tuned to our social media pages for all of our broadcasts that will be coming up. Of course, they're always free to air, so just have to click on the link and it brings you to it. And our thanks to O'Reilly Oakstown and Pure Coin and Sons, the Husqvarna dealership in Clonard, for bringing all these commentaries to you over the last few months and over the coming months as well. So great to have all these sponsors involved, Davey, and great to be doing that. I know we've had a little few issues last weekend with broadband and stuff like that, or Wi-Fi and whatever I think it was that was maybe dropping the signal. But it's brilliant to be able to bring all these commentaries to our listeners, and we're getting listeners from all over the world. Lots of lads in America, Terry in particular.
Terry, Minnesota, yeah, absolutely loves it. He does be up at all hours listening to us commentating. And we had people from Singapore, from Toronto, from Australia, from absolutely every corner of the globe. So without our sponsor support, Mickey, we wouldn't be able to bring these to the people who are living far away and enjoying the coverage. So, yeah, thanks a million.
Yeah, absolutely. Terence McCabe, that is Terry. He's in Farmington in Minnesota. And he sent me a couple of pictures of the lovely weather that they're having over there at the minute, and the swimming pool and the whole lot. And I was like, Jesus Christ, I'm stuck in the middle of Drumcondra. And he's sending me pictures like that. But he was saying that he went through Drumcondra a few times when he was home in June. So he was doing a bit of traveling around the county. Listens to all the games between We Are Cavan and We Are Meath, which is brilliant because he's just up there on the border of Cavan as well. So yeah, brilliant stuff. Davey, time to move on to our Lotto segment. Have the PROs been in contact with you?
Yeah, first one up is from my own club in Corktown, Mickey. Our 15,700 jackpot from last Friday night was not won. The numbers were 3, 12, 26 and 27. 520 euro winners were Mags Monroe, Mark Waters, James Loughran, the Coin Girls, and Martin McGovern, the Corktown manager, who has said that for next week, Mickey, he wants the 20 euro to go into the Corktown Lotto, and it's going to be covering the championship squad for 2023. And if we win the 16 grand, he's bringing us to Ibiza with the winnings. We've already made that pact.
Fix.
Yeah, that's what I said to Ivor. I said, we need Martin McGovern winning this. But anyway, we actually had a 150 euro voucher for the vanilla pod in Kells, which went to Paul Coyne. And the jackpot rolls on 15,800 euro next Friday night at corktowngA.com/lotto. Castletown are next in, and their results from the 23rd of August, 5,000 euro of a jackpot, not won. 5, 8, 13 and 24 are their numbers. Lucky dip winners, each collecting 30 euro, were Dennis Ward, Michelle Lennon, Antia and Ollie Casty, Noel Mead, the great Noel Mead, horse trainer, and Patrick Kearns. Blackhall Gales are next in, and their results from the 21st of August, jackpot of 10,000, not won. 6, 15, 16 and 18 are numbers. 30 euro winners were Donegh Tobin, Paul Conlon, Tom Clark, and Max Mulpeter. Selling prize went to Jimmy Leddy, and the next draw takes place on the 4th of September, live at the clubhouse with a 10,000 euro jackpot and a reserve of 7,400 euro. Navan and Matneys are in next, and their results from last week, no jackpot winner. 6, 19, 26 and 29, their numbers. Match 3 winner was Eric Mungie, and their jackpot rolls on to 12,200 euro next week, and that takes place on the 29th of August. Kilmaine and Murray next from last Monday night. No winner of their jackpot. The numbers were 1, 4, 11 and 18. Jackpot of 8,700 euro for next week. Five lucky dip winners, each receiving 20 euro from last week, were Philip Mahon, Joe Walsh, Jordan Mahon, Gary McDonough and Max the Cat and Dazzer. I love that. Well done to Max the Cat. Manalvi from the 21st of August, 3, 6, 11 and 12, their numbers. No jackpot winner. Three 20 euro winners were Fearco Purcell, Beth Ann Riley and David Dunn. The next draw takes place on Monday with 4,300 euro at manalvigfc.ie, or you can play it on the Club Force app. Longwood, their results from last week, 1,600 of a jackpot, not one. Sorry, 1,500 of a jackpot, not one. The lucky dip winners were Johnny Fury, Julie King and Katie O'Sullivan, 8, 12, 17 and 21, their numbers. And they go again with 1,600 euro on Monday night on that one. Ballinlocker next in from last Monday night, and their letters were B, F, L and T. 5,500 euro of a jackpot wasn't won. Their next draw doesn't take place until the 4th of September. Their match three winners each sharing 100 euro were Martina Riley, Claire Flanagan, Killian McDonnell, Josh Renahan, I think, and Tommy Nolte. Jesus, this handwriting is... I thought mine was bad. The next draw takes place in the clubhouse. Watersdown are in next, and their results from Sunday last, the 20th of August. Their numbers were 2, 14, 22, and 25. They had 8,000 of a jackpot, and they had three match three winners, who were Mark Curran, Jason Shields, and Christy Reynolds. They share 100 euro between them. The next draw is open, and it's worth 8,100 euro. You can play via Club Force or pick up an envelope in Texaco Garage on the Dublin Road or in O'Brien's Bar and Restaurant in Johnstown. And the final one on my list, Mickey, comes from Manalty from last Sunday night, 4, 20, 22 and 25. Their numbers, no jackpot winner, two match three winners, each receiving 100 euro. They were Brendan Gilson and Patrick Kearns. The special online prize of 50 euro went to Mary Riley. And next week's draw will take place tonight, Sunday. They've got 2,200 euro.
Brilliant stuff, Davey. I have the usual ones in. Kilmaine and Mud GFC's lotto last week. The numbers drawn were 7, 13, 22 and 28. There was no jackpot winner. The lucky dip winners, each receiving 20 euro, were Richard Cassidy, Ben Farrell, Dick Kellett, Maeve McEntee and Suzanne Casey. Next week's jackpot lotto will be 2,600. Simonston's lotto last Friday night was not won. It was 3,700 euro. The numbers drawn were 1, 9, 20 and 25. There was one match three winner. That's Martina Higgins. And she wins 150 euro. Not so bad. And finally, Centerstown's lotto last week. The numbers drawn were 5, 10, 16 and 28. No jackpot winner here either. There was 5, 25 euro winners. There were Fiona Daly, Louise McCabe, Jim Rooney, Mary Clark and Nell Kilkenny. Next week's lotto, or this week's lotto, depending on when you're listening to it, is a massive 5,000 euro. So that is our lotto's look. That, Davey, I think it's time to move on to Instagram Interactive.
Yeah, just before I do, Mickey, you'll probably recall last week we had the Kentstown Bow Park community games team we talked about. But I've just got an update. And after a lengthy Meath and Leinster campaign, the under 10 community games team from Kentstown Bow Park made it to the All-Ireland final today. Having been beaten by the Kerry team in extra time by a point earlier today, they went on to represent Meath and Leinster in the All-Ireland Shield final, where they won there in extra time through a last minute goal. So bronze medals for the young Royals. Proud day for the parish, county and indeed the province. And we have a picture of the winning team as well. So hats off to them. An incredible effort on a really prolonged day. They'll hopefully not be back to school tomorrow and they can relax and enjoy the well-earned break, because it sounds like they had a pretty hectic Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely incredible stuff. If you drive out through Kentstown, heading out for, we'll say, the Jaleek Road, there's a big sign wishing them the best of luck. It's a picture of the moon, the whole lot. It's absolutely brilliant, and so proud of all those kids that were playing on that under 10 team from Bow Park and Kenston. And I'm sure if we were to get the list of those names, Davey, that are on the team, we'd probably be mentioning them in a few years' time playing senior championship football for one of the teams out that direction, more than likely being Centralstown.
Yeah, future's bright for them. They just need to keep the show on the road, and they've got good caliber coming up.
Excellent. Let's move on to Instagram, Davey.
Yeah, first up is Extra Time Sport, Rob Cox, and he said the under-20s been changed to 19s without anyone really knowing about it. Yeah, I think this kind of came up in the week, Mickey. It's probably one of those rules that I won't say was pushed through, but there wasn't a whole pile of talk about. It was voted in, by the way, you know, so everything is above board and everything like that, but people are only realising this is a change now, if that makes sense.
So is this for county or for club?
Club.
Club, okay. Yeah, it's... I don't think it's a good idea. I think it should have went out to under-21, actually. So yeah.
Well, I think there's probably fellas there that have missed a lot of football due to COVID that are probably would have played catch up this year with under-20s and are probably going to miss it now, which is just real shame in many respects.
Yeah, and I know they talked about doing it at county level as well a couple of years ago, but and they're still probably in talks about that. But the big issue is that the leaving cert would be a massive factor in players not playing for under 19. So I don't know. I don't know if it's a good idea, but we'll see.
Yeah, lucky to be working, said Arsenal non-athletes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll keep that for... Do you know what? I'm not even going to nail you on that one, so I'm not.
Yeah, because we're playing you next Sunday.
Exactly. And,
yeah. Good man, good man. Learn from your mistakes, Mickey. You're dead right. Daratui said Duleek versus Pat's intermediate final. That would be tasty, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. That would be an incredible one, so it would. And...
Well, they can't meet in the quarters anyway. So, yeah, there's a chance.
There's a chance. Or maybe even a semi-final as well. Like, still, if they were to meet at all, it'd be a brilliant one. So, what? Battle of the Becks.
Yeah. Robert Perfield said, just one defeat in 20 competitive matches for St. Pat's this year.
For St. Pat's, yeah. You were saying that earlier on. You were going to come to that. That's a brilliant stat. And who was it that beat them?
Meath Hill.
No.
Meath Hill. It was Meath Hill beat them in the league.
Are you sure? I thought they lost three times I thought Meath Hill lost three times.
I'm pretty sure they beat them in the group stage. Yeah, no, I think they beat them once. Okay, just the two that mattered, they didn't.
Yeah.
Ben Tobin said Kells to get relegated.
I don't know. Do you know what? Like, I don't think so. I still think that they'll have enough to stay out of stay away from being relegated, Davey.
Yeah, I don't know, Mickey. We'll see. Maybe just, but I don't think.
No. I don't think they've got a God-given right, and they are on a very slippery slope at the moment. When you look down at it, it's probably going to be between them and Screen, is it?
That's what it looks like at this stage, yeah.
We'll see.
C. Howley said, Bolivar win versus Longwood. What a great team performance.
Yeah, you were at this one, Davey, and you were really impressed by Bolivar.
I was. I just love the panel that they've got. They've got Keith Kyogan back now pushing on. Stephen Kelly, come on, got 2-1. Podger Gagan even made a cameo at the end of the game as well. I just think there's an awful lot to like about Bolivar at the minute, and I think they'll have a say yet, but we shall see. Jack Walsh said the standard of refereeing in Meath is a farce, but fair play to the Meath refs giving up their expenses this week. End for Fergus Smith. Yeah, he's obviously the referee from Blackhall that is undergoing treatment at the moment. And the hurling referees did it last week as well. So they've got two weeks going towards, which is a really nice touch. And I know Kildare are doing something similar.
I was going to say Kildare hurling referees did that last weekend as well. So absolutely brilliant and great little bits of fundraising, basically, and great ideas to do that fundraising, send it through to the GoFundMe account, which you can still find. Go on to any of the MeGA pages and you'll find the link to that GoFundMe page. Absolutely horrendous there.
And on Jack's other point, will we send him up for the refereeing course now for the next couple of months?
Oh, was he on about the Meath and District League or whatever that's called these days?
Oh, yeah, I think he was on about... he didn't really clarify, but I think he was on about...
Yeah, I presume he was on about GAA as well. Was he playing for O'Mahony's this weekend?
No, Jack's a hurling man.
Oh, I know he's a hurler, but would he not throw his hand in at the Gaelic? No,
the Premier, the Premier team in O'Mahony's probably could do with him, all right, yeah.
Exactly.
Don O'Leary said, should be an under-23 competition if they want to change to under-19.
Under-23 is, I don't know about that. Definitely under-21. I think, lads at 23 are fully grown men, at that stage.
Yeah, they're playing adult football for nearly 6 years. Yeah. Shane Mangan said, what would you do?
So we have an under 27s and then an under 31s, and I think 23 is just a little bit
probably late. Sorry, yeah, I agree with that. Shane Mangan said, what would you do to improve the standard of the Meath Senior Championship? Kilmacud Crokes versus Castle Knock today, light years ahead in terms of quality. Two Meath men in charge, yeah.
There is a big difference in quality, so there is. I don't know how we increase the quality. Look, that's up to clubs, it's up to players, it's up to GAA as well. I don't know.
I know we've talked about this several times. You know the Cavan model inside out. Would that improve things? Do you think an open draw like on one big league table? I know we have more teams and everything like that, but if there was a similar sort of template there.
I don't know if that increases the standard of football, though. Do you know what I mean? It creates a really good, exciting championship, but it doesn't. I don't know how that would increase the standard of football. I think the standard in Meath, I've seen two really well organized teams. We'll say playing the new style of football with mass defenses. That's Corrigan and Simonson, and they would trouble any team because of the way that they set up and they know what they're doing. And Meath teams don't like coming up against that type of thing. I watched Dunshaughlin the other night. They were very naive at times. They were bringing the ball around this big arc that Corraha had set up. And then eventually someone would panic and just kick the ball in and try and pick out a pass through the eye of a needle type thing. And Corraha would just turn over the ball and go down the other end of the field. And you don't mind if that happens once or twice, but to consistently do it and expect a different outcome, I just thought was crazy. But this is the thing, is that the standard of football in Meath, we're still a good few years behind when it comes to tactics in Meath at club level. And that's, I don't think the draw or anything like that is going to bring it up. I think that's, clubs just need to start working on all that. And why is there two Meath managers in Dublin, over these teams? Why are we not getting in managers to bring in new tactics into Meath? You know, that kind of way.
I could answer that, but I won't, because I get myself in trouble. But look, I do see your point. One thing I like, I know it doesn't work because there's only two teams, maybe three, realistically, that can win the Meath Senior Hurling Championship. But I like the Group A and Group B approach in hurling in Meath, because I think the teams in Group B clearly aren't good enough to play in Group A, so they're playing at an even keel versus the teams in Group A who are quality teams. Like, I think, Mickey, if you had the eight best teams in Meath in the one group facing off against each other, okay, you're not going to play seven rounds, but you would get better games. And in Group B, you would get teams that are more evenly matched. And I think generally that would improve the standard, possibly.
Yeah, I don't know how dividing teams up into whatever is going to improve the standard.
Is it not better teams playing better teams, no? On a weekly basis.
Yeah, but what did they have to do then to get better? They have to work on their tactics. They have to work on all the different things instead of, and systems and all that to become better. If the eight best teams are playing against each other, yeah, I see. Maybe it would be a way for teams to improve. But I think that we need to bring in a lot of coaching. I've said it to you before. There's one particular guy I know as a, who manages teams and whatever. I reckon he could win a championship with in Meath with nearly any team if he came and took them over.
Brian Flynn said first championship win for Clonard in 5 years.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Absolutely brilliant. And I said it on the podcast last week that we'd be absolutely delighted for them to get the win. And what they've done as well is they've given themselves a chance going into the last round of games as well, Davey, which is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, Leona Jane Lynch also said first championship win for Clonard in 5 years. Some may sneer. It's a long time coming and it's well deserved.
Absolutely, and it's not like it's a fluke or anything. They lost two of the championship games already this year by 2 points. Do you know, like, and they've gone and beaten Eastern Gales. Okay, but everybody else has beaten them as well. But they've put up a massive score against them. They scored 40 points, and I don't think there was many teams that got more than that against Eastern Gales. Cortland got 7-14. That's 35. I'm just trying to see who else beat Eastern Gales. Eastern Gales, Kilmainham Wood, 4-18. That's 30 points. Eastern Gales against Drumcondra, 3-17. That was 26 they conceded. Clonard have put up the biggest score against them. They've scored 40 points against them. So it's nothing to be sneezed at either. Like, you know, that shows how far they've come.
Yeah, absolutely, Mick. Next one in is from Deck F. Dunn. And he said, what a win for the Kills. Contenders?
Well, we said at the beginning of the year that they're definitely contenders. As in, you know, the 33-1 was a massive price and that an each-way bet on that would be a brilliant, brilliant idea. Davey Risman took it up. I didn't. But we did say the 33-1 was a massive price on them. They've done it the hard way. they've topped the group and they've beaten Rathaut. And that has to give them a massive boost of confidence because you consider they've lost two league finals to Rathaut already. In the space of what, just over a year. So to get that victory over Rathaut, give themselves what's perceived to be an easier draw in the quarter final. Like, there's no reason why they couldn't be in a semi final, Davey Risman.
No, very much so. Last one I think is from Sean Ronan, and he said, any idea when the draws for the quarter finals will be made?
Well, we do. It's Monday night, isn't it?
Monday night at 8:05.
And is it taking place on LMFM or
LMFM? Yeah, and possibly me GA could be streaming it too. I'm not sure on that one, but I do know LMFM are planning on broadcasting it live. Yeah,
brilliant stuff, and we'll know all the pairings for the quarterfinals on Monday night, 8:10. We should have all of them done at that stage, and we can't wait. Davey, your injury yourself. Disappointing weekend for you. Great win for Cortown, but we do have to talk about your injury, unfortunately.
Yeah, back hopping along. I don't know. We'll see. I've got another, an MRI on Wednesday, and I've got a bit of warm weather recovery planned for next week as well. So I'll be fine, Mick. Hopefully be back for the final.
You will indeed. Well, look, that's it from this episode of your We Are Meath podcast. Remember, we are Meath, white and we're